You single guys aren't going to understand what I'm talking about here, but any man who's been married for, say, at least 7, maybe 10 years will know exactly what I'm referring to. As a married man, with children in particular, there is no better feeling than finding out that your wife is going out of town with the kids for the weekend, and you're going to have the whole house to yourself. Ugh, it's unbelievable. It's like you have been given a probation or parole from a prison sentence, and suddenly now you are completely free. You can pretend to be single. It is the best thing happening. Ugh. Some of the best days of my marriage were my wife went to her mother's house and took the kids with her. So today, I want to explore the concept of why men spend so much time looking for that little peace and quiet, trying to hide from their wives, and to what lengths we will go to achieve that level of peace and quiet. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. Testosterone is a drug that can be taken to enhance your muscularity. It's really a hormone, but obviously steroids are drugs. What we don't realize about testosterone, especially when we're young, is that it drives us to do things that don't make any sense. Our mating rituals are a case in point. We will do anything, and I mean anything, to hook up with a woman when you're 18, 17, 16, 19, 20, maybe even all the way up to their mid-30s. Like, you are willing to sacrifice your dignity, your peace of mind, your money. You'll do just about anything. And then, once you have successfully captured your woman, and she has put a ring on your finger, and you think you have pulled off the big caper here, you're the one who's achieved the goal, little do you know, all the while, it was her intention all along. And you're not the one who's captured her, but she's the one who's captured you. It truly is about the hunter becoming the hunted. And you don't realize it's happened until it's happened. And it takes a few years. Once you're married, once you've got that ring on your finger, it takes a few years before it fully hits you and you go, wait a second, I think that I've become some kind of a weird slave. I am an extension of her consciousness. I am jumping through hoops everywhere I go. I don't have a moment to myself. I haven't heard my own thoughts in almost a decade. What is happening here? So then, as a married man, you start to strategize on how you can find some peace of mind, how you can find some places that you can go where you can actually listen to your own thoughts and have a few moments to yourself. This becomes quite comical, and I thought it would be worth exploring today. Let's talk about all of our favorite hiding places. The thumbnail kind of gives it away right away, but definitely the bathroom is a long-held traditional place for men to find peace. You gotta be really careful about this, and you've gotta plan it out well, otherwise it will backfire on you. For example, you need to use a bathroom that is not in a main passageway. You've gotta find one that's out of the way. Secondly, you've gotta just slip away. You know, like the way they do Irish exits, you know, from parties, like you just gotta slip away where no one's looking. So no one knows when your actual departure time is. Down to that bathroom, close the door, and make sure you've got all the supplies that you're gonna need while you're in there. If you need a drink, bring a drink with you. You know, if you're gonna be there for a while, you're planning on an hour, maybe longer, you've gotta plan that out in advance so that you have all your supplies there. Thirdly, it helps if you have an exhaust fan that is relatively loud. It can't be too loud, like it can't like wake up people, but it's supposed to be loud enough that it covers up any sounds that you might be making in the bathroom. Because you don't want for the phone to make a sound that suddenly gives away the fact that you're not actually taking care of business, that you're doing something recreational. Now, the critical element here is that if you play your cards right, you can get a like a double out of this. So the single is you get your free time in the bathroom for as long as you need, 30, 40 minutes, an hour maybe. But if you play your cards just right and you don't overuse this tactic, you can come out of the bathroom and say, oh, honey, it must have been something I ate. I don't feel so good. And then you could have the rest of the afternoon in your room taking a nap. Now, I think that you're gonna need to have some shit can, which is like stink in a can, to spray around in there so that it actually does smell really bad. And then if you're gonna take the nap, it helps if you have some of that spray around as well. I don't know if this stuff actually exists. I may have to make it. I may have to create some of this stuff. But imagine if you could spray that in your bedroom and then you could keep her out of there too. So then you would have the time in the bathroom, perhaps up to an hour, and then potentially a 2 to 3 hour nap in the afternoon complaining about intestinal pain and discomfort. You have your own little IBS party, if you will. Another really good hiding spot is the garage. The garage is sort of man space to begin with. The trick here, though, is in order to make the garage your space and have her leave you alone, you're gonna have to open the hood of the car. Now, for those of you who don't know anything about cars, this is not a problem. You could tell her the warp drive is broken and she would buy it completely. And you're just gonna be in there working on it. So you just open the hood of the car. You tell her, honey, I'm just gonna check some things out and make sure your car is working great. It helps if you're looking at her car because she's gonna be very concerned about that. And then just reach in there, grab some grease off the engine and wipe it on your hands, maybe get a little spot on your face so it looks like you're doing something. Now, you need to have a some kind of a system to recognize when she has entered the garage so she doesn't sneak up on you. But you can go in there with your phone, again, supplies. I think beer is actually appropriate at this time. And that time and space is completely your own. More often than not, she's gonna leave you alone in there. Especially if you tell her, you know, here's a good one. You say, honey, I'm really concerned about your air intake and I think your oil pressure might be a little bit off. Just give me a little time, I'm gonna work on it. And she says, oh, honey, I don't know if you should be doing that. Oh, not to worry, I have always done this sort of thing. I am completely competent, have no worries. Now she thinks you're more of a man and you're getting quiet time to yourself. So absolutely the garage is a great place to go. And not only that, but the garage has plenty of places where you can stash stuff, you know? So you can, if you've got a refrigerator out there like I do, you could stash beer out there, you can have snacks. Hell, you could even hide a, you know, like a laptop or something so you can watch movies, you can be on the Wi-Fi. I mean, it is absolutely the perfect place to go. Another great place is the yard. Now, before you guys get concerned about doing work, and it is work, it's also peace of mind time. So if you put your earplugs in, you know, and you're listening to your favorite music, your favorite book, whatever it may be, podcast, some kind of entertainment, you can spend an awful lot of time out in the yard away from your wife with just pure peace of mind. You're gonna be doing some simple mundane work, mowing the grass, trimming, doing the hedges, maybe edging. I mean, it's amazing how many tasks you can find to perform in the job, in the yard. I remember one year I decided that I was gonna dig a pond. I kid you not, I dug an entire pond in my backyard, filled it with water and koi fish and had pumps and waterfalls. Oh, it was like the project from heaven because I had plenty of excuses now to go outside and check on the pond, work on the pond. Oh, the pump might not be working. There's a clog in the pump. Oh, I saw a snake around the pond. I got to go out and deal with the snake. There was tons and tons and tons of excuses to be out there working in the yard, doing stuff without her around. She wants nothing to do with it. She wants to touch it with a 10-foot pole. This is 100% man time. Finding your man time, finding your peace of mind time. This is the critical element to keeping you sane. Now, it's not just about having your own free time and, you know, sanity time for yourself, but it's also about establishing levels of responsibility. Who's gonna be doing what? Now, before my ex-wife moved in with me, I was a single father. So I'm a lone parent with a kid. I'm doing everything. I'm doing laundry, I'm doing dishes, I'm cleaning house, I mean, I'm wiping asses, I'm doing everything. I'm doing it all. I have done it for years. I am relatively competent at all of these tasks. The problem is you do not want your wife to realize that you have these competencies. So there are certain things that you're going to have to determine that you're going to back away from. Now, fortunately, her laundry philosophy and my laundry philosophy were not congruent. I felt like if it could fit into the washing machine, regardless of its color or texture, it was good to go. You know, I got I read the label on the laundry detergent. It said you can put anything in here; it'll wash everything. So it's like, all right, well, if it can wash everything, it'll wash everything. So I just stuck it all in there, and quite frankly, it mostly turned out fine. I didn't have incidents of pink underwear or anything like that, so I was good with it. You just have to use some common sense. Don't put brand new stuff in there with your whites. Common sense stuff. However, when she saw me doing that, it was as if I had killed a kitten or something, like I had done something terrible. I had drowned a puppy, because she looked at me like I was some kind of a psychopath. And she immediately tore that laundry apart and put it into like five different piles. I mean, I think there were whites, there were dark darks, there were light darks, there were pastels, there were towels, there was bedding. We had piles of laundry all over the freaking place. Now to me, I'm thinking with all that laundry, two possible loads. She's got six loads laid out. It occurred to me, rather than fighting this, rather than making an argument, rather than trying to stand my ground here, this was a good place for me to yield. Because as soon as I yielded and said, honey, you obviously are much better at this than I am, I was off the hook for laundry just about from that day forward. I mean, I did not have to wash another article of clothing, I think, until the day she moved. Now, I would do laundry from time to time just because I had to, I'd have stuff that I had to get cleaned for myself. But for the most part, she was in charge of laundry. It was the best thing ever. It really was. So there are things about being competent in the garage or in the yard that give you like trading cards, So she's taking laundry, you're gonna fix her car. Now, you don't have to tell her that you're just out there fucking around, You're just out there killing time. You got the hood up, you're watching TV, you're drinking a beer, whatever. She thinks you're working, and that's what's most important, is she thinks you're making a contribution. Now, the yard is a legit contribution, but again, you're getting double duty out of that because now you're getting peace and quiet, The hum of that lawnmower in the background, it's like music to my ears, The smell of fresh cut grass, it reminds me of being a kid playing football or whatever, being on the baseball field. It's like, man, there's nothing quite like it. So you take a little bit of pride in it. So you get the quiet, you get a little bit of exercise, you get some walks down memory lane from when you were a mediocre athlete. And it's a good time. It really is. Another great one is washing cars. Washing, waxing, detailing, all of it. Don't take them to a car wash. You're just gonna spend $20, it'll be done in 5 minutes, and you haven't accomplished anything. Do it yourself. There is nothing better than on a warm, beautiful spring day and breaking out your bucket and your suds and all your car chemicals and just knowing you're gonna be out there all damn day. You're gonna get some sunshine, you can listen to your tunes, and you're doing something for the family because you are washing and waxing. You're maintaining the cars. You're maintaining cars. These cars are worth tens of thousands of dollars, and you are taking responsibility for making sure that these cars look great. And you better start with hers, because you get her car done and she's gonna be so, so happy with you. You vacuum it out, you get all the kids' nasty shit out of there, the little pieces of candy that are stuck to the seat, all that French fry crap that falls in between the seats. You get it all cleaned out. She thinks it's like a brand new car. You are a hero. Not only are you getting peace and quiet, you're spending time outside listening to your music, drinking beer, enjoying the sun, but now you are a hero. It's like a triple whammy. I mean, you're getting everything you could possibly want here. And if you've got two cars, you can easily justify 6, maybe even 8 hours out there. I mean, you can spend the entire day outside. And you will find that there will be other men, neighbors of yours, who will also be doing the same thing. They'll be out there washing their cars. Before you know it, you got a little party going on. You got guys all coming together talking at the end of the driveway. Everyone's got a cold one in their hands. Everyone's complaining about their wives. It is it's like a male bonding moment, And in the suburbs, and your wife has no idea how much fun you're having without her there. When my son was a kid, when he was young, I coached his soccer teams. And I was single, so coaching the soccer teams was easy for me. You know, all the married families, you know, they just wanted somebody to take care of their kid while they were doing something else, and I was that guy. So we did that for like 3 or 4 years, and it was a lot of fun. When my ex-wife came along, I decided that I was gonna become a spectator. So here's the advantage to becoming a spectator. Number one, the only person I'm coaching is my kid. You know, I'm just worried about what he or she is doing. But number two, my ex-wife did not want to go to any of these games, football games, soccer games, whatever it was. She did not want to go. So I was now in charge of driving them to the games and spending time with them at the games. Again, double duty in terms of benefits. Number one, you get to spend some quality time with your kid, which is great. Number two, you're just sitting on the sidelines watching a bunch of kids run up and down a field chasing a ball. You can do anything you want. As long as when your kid looks at you, you're looking at her. That's it, or at him. No matter what, you're always got your eye, one eye on them. But aside from that, you can have your earphones in. You can be listening to your favorite podcast, music. You can be reading. You can play Candy Crush. There's all kinds of stuff that you can do while you're sitting there on the sidelines. Not only that, but you're going to find that there's a lot of MILFs at these things. There are not going to be as many dads. You're going to be one of the few dads that are there. And there's going to be a lot of attractive women there. Not that you would do anything about that. I mean, we're obviously men of God. We don't want to be, violating any of the commandments here. But it certainly is fun to look at them, you know? I was relatively late to the game when it came to dog walking. I did not realize how much dog walking gave me a lot of peace of mind and how it could get me out of the house and how it didn't require a lot of effort, didn't have to drive anywhere, didn't have to take anyone with me, and it was just me and a dog. And not only that, but at the end of the day, I got better trained dogs. So the dog walking was definitely a winner because now I'm just walking around in the woods. I could be gone for a long time, an hour, 2 hours. It's just me outside with the dogs, going to all kinds of cool places, checking things out, bringing a bag of treats. The dogs will do whatever I want. And meeting friends, family. I mean, not family, but friends and neighbors. And it was a lot of fun. It still is a lot of fun. But again, time away from the house, time away from her. No oversight. No someone trying to plan out your day. No someone trying to figure out what you could be doing to help her. You're already doing something. You're taking care of the family pet, for God's sake. You are sacrificing your time and energy, your time, sacrificing your time and effort for the benefit of the family so that this animal that we all love so much is cared for and exercised and is trained. Yes, I'm a hero. Again, I'm a hero serving myself. And then going to the gym. This one's a little bit of a harder sell because obviously you're benefiting from that. There may be a lot of attractive women there. I was able to leverage this into purchasing gym equipment for myself, which eventually led to me becoming a personal trainer. But I used to go to the gym early in the morning. So I'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I would go to the local gym, and I'd be like the only one there at 6 a.m. It'd be me and one other old guy, and we would spot each other. But it gave me an hour early in the morning to spend time on my own, get my head straight. I guess what had happened there is that the morning routine required more assistance from me. I needed to be more engaged with that on some level. And so she said, well, can you go later in the day? And of course, you know, when you go later in the day to the gym, it just gets crowded. You get people sitting around, on machines, not doing anything. And it just becomes, it just slows your whole process down. So I was able to use that as an excuse to buy an entire gym for my house. And now, then I got this whole space in my house that's just dedicated to me, you know? Now she can use it too, but she doesn't want to be in there while I'm in there, you know? So now I'm a hero again. So I have created a place for her to work out and for me to work out. And I can go down in there, crank up my tunes, work out. I'm staying healthy. She can stay healthy because she can use it. And the kids can use it. Like my son, as he got to be a teenager, he was in there with all of his friends. So it became a win-win-win for everybody. But most importantly, it gave me that peace and quiet time, that me time, that my mind time that I needed to remain sane throughout this entire process. I think that most guys don't realize when they're tracking down a woman and they think they need one because of that testosterone-driven insanity that we experience when we're kids, when we're teenagers, is that we don't know what we have until it's gone. You know, we don't recognize the value of being single, because up until that point, we've been single the whole time. So we've been thinking, well, this is no fun. I'd really like to have someone that I can touch and squeeze and poke, you know? And so you think, well, that a cute girl would make everything just right and make everything perfect for me. If I just had someone cute to hang out with, man, I would be in good shape. My life would be complete. Oh, my friend, that is not the case at all. No, in fact, it's quite the opposite. Once you have her in your life, you see, she's not like a blow-up doll. You know, she doesn't just come out when you need her. No, she's there 24/7, and she's got her own needs, and she has ideas about what you're going to be doing for her. Like, this isn't just a one-way street. This is very transactional. She's got some expectations that you're going to have to meet, and if you don't meet them, oh my God, you're going to wish you were dead, because she will let you know. She will let you know how much you suck. She will emasculate you at every turn. She will take control of your life. She'll tell you what you need to be doing, when you're doing it, how you're doing it, where you're doing it, and whether you're doing it well. She will get in your stuff, man. I'm telling you, she will be down in your stuff. And you'll be like, what the hell? I was a fully functioning adult before she came along, and now I feel like a complete idiot. How is this happening? And then you're gonna start seeking out that bathroom. You're gonna be checking out the bathrooms in the house, thinking, okay, which one can I slip into without her realizing I'm there? And how can I do my little Irish getaway and just slide away when nobody's watching, and stock that thing up with some supplies so that I can spend up to an hour just on my own, peacefully, resonating in my own thoughts while she has no idea where I'm at. Ah. You know, there are times when I miss being married just because of the contrast that you experience when you get that peace and quiet. Those days when she would go to her mother's house and leave me alone, oh my God. You know, It really was like you had been released from prison on some level, you know? And of course I'm thinking, oh honey, I wish I could go, but you know, I got so many chores around the house. I got to do the lawn. You know, that warp drive in your car is broken. I'm going to have to take a look at that. You can take my car. You know, you just self-sacrificing, like you just go give your mother my best. You know, you tell her I love her and I'll see you guys in a couple of days. And then you're watching as the car drives down the driveway and she's disappeared from sight. And you're like, yes. And you're like, what movies am I gonna watch? How late am I gonna stay up? You know, you're on the way out to the store to pick up some snacks. You know, I mean, it's like being at home alone as a kid, you know, on a school day, you know, and your parents just left. It's like you've got a sick day, but you're not really sick. You know, it's that kind of joy. It's like, oh, we're gonna watch Price is Right today. Anyway, again, it's the contrast. It's just the contrast. You don't know what you got until you don't have it. And ironically, as we continuously try to get the opposite, even when we know that the opposite isn't what we wanted the first time. That's why so many guys get into second marriages. Or one of the first things guys talk about after they've, you know, broken up with their wife or she's left them is getting on a dating app. It's like, really? Really? You want to jump back in that pool? Really? Like, that thing's full of piranha and alligators and God knows what else. Viruses, you know, those brain-eating viruses that swim up your ass. Yeah, you don't want to get in that pool, man. That stuff will kill you. That stuff will absolutely kill you. I think it really just boils down to understanding that as men, we have been blessed and cursed with testosterone. And I love it in the gym. You know, I love being strong. I love being healthy. I love being able to do stuff. It makes me feel good. I mean, testosterone, when it's flowing and you have a really good workout, it's one of the best feelings at the end of the day, you know? But man, it can take over your brain, you know? And next thing you know, you're chasing down some skirt and you're thinking, oh, this is gonna be fun. You know, it's like the testosterone takes over your frontal lobe and all your decision-making processes go out the window. And now you're chasing this little split tail thinking, I'm gonna find my true identity, my true love in life, my true happiness. And my friend, you probably won't. More often than not, you're gonna find some discontent woman who's looking for some guy to fill a hole for her. Uh-oh. The damn dog just run up the hill, scared this lady. Pretty sure she's a lesbian. She yells at me every time the dogs do that. I try to stop them, but they seem to like her. You know, she just doesn't like them very much. She's screaming, no, 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 no. Your dogs need to be on a leash. You know, the thing is, I'm down here in the creek. If she would just not come down here, she would be fine. Just walk around. Anyway. So where was I? You don't know what you have until it's gone. And I think that's really the critical message that comes from being married for 5 or 10 years, when you start seeking out those hiding places, those places where you can find peace and quiet and you can hear your own thoughts again, when you can take control of your own environment just for a little while and feel like you're doing something meaningful in your life, like you have purpose, mowing the lawn, fixing the cars, washing the cars, taking the kids to whatever. You know, running errands. Hell, I even did grocery shopping just because it was a good way for me to get out of the house. That was another good one. But the truth of the matter is you had all that freedom all along. It only became super valuable to you when you sensed that it was gone. When she moved in and started having demands that she was placing on you and your time. And if you just had recognized, and that's why I'm telling you this, that's why I'm giving you this for free. This is a free one. This is absolutely free. All you got to do is appreciate what you have. I mean, really, that's just it. Just appreciate the little tiny things that make your life enjoyable and fun. And don't notice anything that's missing. Like, it's your idea or thought or belief system that you need to have someone else there that causes you to feel those feelings of discontentment. That's not something that exists in the world. That's something that only exists in your mind. And you have complete control over that. If you just shift that energy to appreciation for what you have, the discontentment doesn't have room to live. And you can just let it go. It's like there's no reason to feel that level of discontentment. You know? The idea or belief system that you need to have a woman in your life is a social construct. It's not something that we were born with. I mean, when you're 16, 17, 18, yeah, you've got this urge to go, you know what. But after that, you know, it's like, do you really need that? Do you really? I mean, it comes with so much baggage. You're going to get so much stuff that comes with it. Now, on the bright side, you're going to learn a lot. You will become a better man. I've said that in other videos. You will definitely be a better man if you have a woman in your life, because you're going to have to be so you don't strangle her. You know, you're going to have to be a better man to have patience so you don't end up in jail, because there'll be times when you'll lose your cool very easily. But in the meantime, choose option A. Enjoy your peace and quiet. Enjoy the things that life offers up to you. If you feel those sensations of discontentment, recognize them for what they are. They're just a lack of understanding. And if you focus your attention more on what you have and less on what you don't, you will find that your life is much, much better. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. I certainly hope you've enjoyed this video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you know someone else who might enjoy it, please share it with them. Till next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.